Grand, grand old song. Favorite song of Dr. Lee Robertson. Jesus is all the world to me, his favorite song. Along with Sweet Will of God, my stubborn will at last hath yielded. And great, great song. I was looking at this little gift we have for you to give to. If you bring a friend, if you bring a friend to the revival, it's Monday night, Tuesday night.
Monday night.
If you bring a friend to the revival Monday night, it's in this little felt presentation sleeve, I guess they call it. And it's a lovely pen. It's what they call one of these gel flow pens that writes really very nice. And it just simply says on it, from my friend at the home place. From my friend at the home place. And that's really very nice. It's not, here's the name of the church and the pastor and the address and the phone number. It doesn't have all that on there. It's just from my friend at the home place. And whenever they use that pen, they'll remember that they have a friend here and that you invited them to come, and that's where they got that. And I think it created a lot of interest. Somebody will look at that and they'll say, where'd you get that? I said, well, I got a friend who goes to church over here, and I went with them, and they gave me this pen. My friend gave me this pen, because that's what we do. We give it to you, you take it and give it to your friend. If you have friends here, five friends here, we give you five of them. And if you have five friends here and you take five, we'll give you one for yourself. I mean, you know, we'll do that. I mean, that's good. That's good. We've been looking at the church, so we're going to read one more time. And a lot more times we'll read it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast, into the area, the borders of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that our John the Baptist, either resurrected or reincarnated. Some Elias, same situation. Other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, your father, Bar-Jonah, your Bar-Jonah, you're the son of Jonas. He didn't reveal this unto you. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we're looking at the different pictures of the church. Can be looked at. The church can be looked at in many different ways, but we've been looking at pictures of the church and similes and illustrations that are used in the Word of God. The first one we're looking at is the church as a body. And we've talked extensively about the church as the body and that we are one body but many members. I mean, you have the heart and the lungs and the things that are inside that can't be seen. But I tell you one thing right now, it's you live. We talk, and we've had an emphasis this week at Southwide of living from the inside out, the Christian life. But I'm going to tell you what right now, it's the inside of you keeps you going physically too. You can do whatever you want to someone who does not have life, but it doesn't change anything. I mean, whenever I pass away, I'm sure that Becky will see to it that they get my hair just right and sprayed down and get it just the way it ought to be. And that time I tie, just the way I like it to be tied. And my suit will be there. I have that big old Bible in my hand or something. I don't know. Don't bury my Bible, though. Don't bury my Bible. It'll still go on. But you can't walk up to a dead person and say, hey, comb your hair. I mean, goodness, It's all messed up over here on the right side. Comb your hair. You don't say that to a dead person. They can't do a thing about that. They can't do a thing about that. Why? And no matter how much you fix somebody up on the outside, if the inside's not going, the outside's not going. And so, don't diminish the importance of the inner members. And we talk about the fingers and the hands and the ears and the nose and the eyes and the feet and all that kind of thing and how they're dependent upon each other. But I'm going to tell you what, the heart, the lungs, the blood flow, everything, all depends on the head. Now, we're one body as a church. As a church. If I'm going to do that, I better turn the other microphone on, hadn't I? As a church, we are many members. And all members have not the same function. There's some people in here right now that if I were to call on you to stand and pray right where you are, you wouldn't be able to get up. You'd just, what do you say? What did he say? Did he call me to pray? I think of Rose here. And dear Pierre Jerome Gontran, Brother Jean-Claude. Now, I've made a commitment to Gontran that I would not call on him to pray in public. He didn't have to ask me to do that, but he asked me, he told me, he said, don't do that. Please don't do that. And I said, okay, that's an agreement. We'll have that agreement. But one morning, Jean-Claude called on him to pray, and about killed him, didn't it? And he was hesitant to come. As I remember, he was hesitant to come back to church for a good long while. Because it just threw him. It just threw him. Now, that's not the member that he was. He was not that member. Now, did that diminish what he was in his office that he had in the church and the place he had and the function that he had? Not at all. Not at all. One's as important as the other. And we need to understand that. And it will help us much to be kind one to another. If we'll remember that. If we'll remember that not everybody has the same office. And not everybody has the same weakness. And not everybody has the same strength. And whenever one member hurts, all the members hurt. And I illustrated that last week with the mashing your finger. I mean, you hurt all over. You hurt all over. But whenever one member's honored, all the members are honored. And that's just the truth of the Word of God and what it gives. Now, I'm going to give you seven fast things about the church. First of all, it's divine in its concept. Divine in its concept. It's miraculous in its beginnings. Miraculous in its beginnings. And particularly if you are of the persuasion that begins the church at Pentecost. It's absolutely miraculous in its beginnings. And it's unique in its composition. The church is unique in its composition. It's such an interesting, the body of the church is such an interesting thing because you see people that are so different. People were commenting this week about the different styles of preaching and styles of preachers. And boy, there are all different kinds and all different emphasis in the way they do things and the way they prepare and the way we present it. And, if you'd have been there, you'd have seen that, but you see that here.
as we have guest preachers come through, and even among the staff, you see that. You see that. We're not in a mold. We're not in a mold. We are individuals. We're not cookie cut out, just stamped out. We're not like that. And sometimes we take on likenesses of other people. Some people say to me one time, "Every Aaron preaches, I just see you all over the place. I just see you." Well, that's pretty normal, you know, because he is out of me. But an own unique style. And same thing is true with Mark and others that come through. And Daniel, those of you that are in the auditorium class, whenever Daniel teaches in here, Daniel Cox, a good style, a good style, but a different style, a different approach to the way of doing things. It's unique in its composition. It's endowed with abilities. The church is endowed with abilities. The church is perfected by His Word. Now that's consistent with everybody. And consistent is kept by His power. The church is kept by His power. And I'm going to tell you what right now. The fact that there is still a church in this world is testimony to the divine preserving power of God Almighty. Boy, the church has been through some bad times. All through history, the church has been through some bad times. It's not unique to our time. Now, we've got some churches in bad situations right now, and there's some terrible situations in churches. But that was true in New Testament times. And you read the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. There were some awful situations in churches in that day, in 90 A.D. There are just awful situations in those churches. But the church is kept by His power. And the church will be complete in eternity. Divine in its concept, miraculous in its beginning, unique in its composition, endowed with abilities, perfected by His Word, kept by His power, and complete in eternity. And we're going to leave the church as a body. We're going to leave that right there. So much can be said, but we will move on to the next thing. And we're going to look at this. We're going to look at the church as an army. The church as an army. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Now, we're likened unto soldiers. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're given the armor of the Christian soldier. We have the breastplate. We have the girdle. We have the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, all the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. All of these things that are part of the armor of the Christian. A lot of songs are written about this aspect of the church and this presentation of the church as an army. Now, I think I must say this right up front. Again, I will say this. And I like this, and I like to say this. That who we are as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about just a form of religion. I'm talking about as born-again, blood-washed, Bible-believing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have never taken up arms to advance our cause. As Christians, we have never held a gun to someone's head and says, "Right now, pray this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I do believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. If you don't pray that, I'm going to pull the trigger." We don't do that. That's not what we do. We, in the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Word of God, we talk to people and try to help them see that they're sinners away from God and that they need to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God loves them and we love them and we want them to come into the family of God and be our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've never taken up arms to advance the cause of Christ. And the pictures in the Old Testament of Israel going to battle against the armies of the nations around them are a physical illustration of the spiritual truth we are to experience in our lives. In fact, those of us who identify with Jesus Christ, according to the truth of the Word of God, objects of God's love, born again into His family, cleansed by His blood, believers in Him, we have never taken up arms to defend ourselves from others who would persecute us for our faith. We've never done that. Stephen didn't do that. Whenever he was drug outside the city by the religious leaders, and he was persecuted and killed because of his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, he never took up arms. Whenever Peter and James were in prison, and James had been killed, he had been beheaded, and the church was praying for Peter, they did not march with staves and swords and storm the jail to get Peter turned loose. They didn't do that. They knelt before God in prayer. Now, the weapons of our battle, Ephesians chapter 6 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not fleshly, are not earthly, are not physical. Because we really do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So our battle is a spiritual battle. Now, the army of the church of God, and of course, the songs that are written, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching as to War. And even the picture that Jesus gave of the church where He said right here, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's even an indication of a battle there. The gates of hell will not be able, the gates of that place of hell itself will not be able to stand against the spiritual battle of the church. And that's the church battle right there. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Against what? Against the church. The gates of hell will not be able to stand whenever the church in the power of God moves forward. The third verse of Onward Christian Soldier says, like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brethren, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity, one in love. Boy, the secret of that power and the army moving forward, the secret of that is in our oneness. Now, in the body, if this hand had a mind of its own and this hand had a mind of its own, we would never get anything done. Fact is, probably it would be very, very difficult to get the body fed at all if this hand had a mind of its own and this hand had a mind of its own. This hand had said, how come I have to hold the bread and push it onto the other fork? And why do I have to do that? And the other said, well, he won't give me any help over here. I can't chase that pea up in the corner. This plate doesn't have a corner in it. I gotta have some help here to get that up there. Well, he don't want to help me. I don't want to help me. I'm not going to do anything. If he's not, well, I'm not going to do anything either. And the mouth is saying, come on, help me here. Help me here. And my stomach starts to feel like my throat's been cut. And it's help, and it doesn't get anything accomplished. Physical body can't get along like that. It's got to function from the head. And the same thing is true of the body of the church. The body of the church. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brethren, we're treading where saints have trod. We're not divided. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place, in one accord. The oneness of the church. The oneness of the church that Jesus prayed for. Father, I pray that they all may be one. Even as Thou, Lord, and I are one. Even as we are one. That they all may be one in us as I am one in You. And the oneness of the church. And we talked about that. We talked about time. It's different than unity. You can have union. I mean, it's different than union. You can have union and not have unity. And I illustrated that with two cats' tails tied together. Two cats with the tails tied together. And you have union, but you don't have unity. And we need not to just be members of the same church. But we need to be together. We need to be together. Now, I know that they wouldn't say it to me, but they probably say it to you. There probably are some people saying, well, I don't know why we're going to have a meeting night after night. I don't know why you expect us to be there night after night. I don't know what we're going to do. Monday night through Thursday night, all this. What's that all about? I don't understand. I don't get that at all. Yeah, you know, there's no unity in that. There's no unity in that. That's creating division. And that's not of God. What if the body, what if your physical body did that? The problem comes whenever the hand wants to be the head. Or the foot wants to be the head. But you can't have that. You can't have that. Now, if the hand wants to be a head, go get your own body and be the head of it. But you can't have that and have God's blessing and have God's power and have what we need to have. But I'm going to tell you what right now. If you got a hand wanting to be the head, that hand better be careful. That hand better be careful. Because the head will deal with that hand. Head would deal with that hand. Now, it's an interesting thing about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you cut the hand off, the hand's not going to grow back physically. But you know, if the hand is cut off in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll put another hand there. He'll put another hand there. That always amazes me. It always amazes me. Sometimes somebody moves away and goes somewhere else. They move out of town, move, gone, you know, whatever. It never ceases to be amazing me that somebody just, boom, is right back there in that place. And you say, where were they? And they were there all the time. But whenever somebody moved out, that the Lord just put somebody right back there in that place. Absolutely amazing how God does that. God does that with pastors. And God does that with every situation in the church. God does that. Sometimes, boy, you know, I hear about a church, a pastor resigns, and I think, boy, that's the end of that church. And boy, before you know it, God sent somebody in there, and that church is just going on and going forward and doing great and going great guns. And I think, wow, where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? That's because God takes care of that. God takes care of that. Now, in the picture of the army, And the way they fought in the army then is different than we fought now, the way we fight now. But, I mean, you just run two columns up in front of each other, and you just fight till somebody dies, and they die. Somebody else comes up into that place, and somebody's killed, and they come up into that place, and they just come in, and the last one standing, you know. I mean, that's the winner. It was tough battling. But that was the picture of it. When someone goes down, another one steps right in. Now, we all have our own place. But, you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, boy, if I were to die, boy, everything would just fall apart. Everything would just fall apart. I'm telling you, the church just couldn't get along without me. They couldn't get along without me. I learned something. I learned my importance. I got a glass of water, put my finger in it, pulled it out, and measured the hole. It's a living thing. The church is a living thing. And as an army, the church moves forward. Now, someone has said the church is the only army that kills its wounded. And that's probably true. But I'm going to tell you something else. Every army in the world deals with a traitor. Every army in the world deals with a traitor. It's hard to find the balance in that. Well, let's stand together. Hey,